Thank you, Scott. And please keep your Bibles open there to Ephesians and chapter 5. We want to talk about walking in the light. Walking in the light. And here's a little point I want you to take along with you in your thoughts today. Here it is. Walking with God is a call to integrated living. Walking with God is a call to integrated living. That's what holds us together. I want to unpack that with you, but this is a really, really timely section of Scripture for our society and what is going on in our our world today in the area of immorality and impurity. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. When that little poem was written, it was meant to express what was going on in society and in people's hearts. Absolute brokenness with no ability to repair ourselves save the grace of God in our lives. It's a story of fracture, and our stories, the world in which you live in here in the heartland, is fracture, is brokenness, and there's a disconnect going on. So let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. These are just ones that I've noticed just in the last few weeks. So recently the Barna Group did a survey of teenagers in our country, pretty extensive survey, and what's bad and what's good. Asked them to make a list of all the things they would consider bad and all the things that they would consider good. So things bad would be things like, these are some of the things that are written down: stealing, lying, having an affair, overeating, not recycling, judgmental, as in having an attitude toward others with a judgmental spirit without understanding where they're coming from, and pornography. Friends, that made the very bottom of the list, the least bad that they could think of. Not recycling would be more offensive to our teenagers than pornography. A huge Protestant denomination that has planted churches all over the world, the largest Protestant denomination since 1998, this was in the news, over 700 people were sexually abused by their clergy. And of the clergy, 220 since 1998, 220 were convicted of sex crimes. Roman Catholicism. The Pope, this is the first time this has ever happened, defrocked a cardinal for sexual abuse of children. Of course, Hollywood, you could almost see something daily, hear something daily there. But the one that struck me, a couple of examples struck me, was the Bill Cosby story, where Bill has been convicted of abuse and misusing women. But instead of embracing that, he considers himself the new Nelson Mandela, carrying on a mission of, I don't even know how to describe it. Or Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots. Your team can win, since he owned the team, six Super Bowls. But before this last Super Bowl, he visits the parlor two times down in Florida. But of course, he's not guilty. He's not guilty. We can look at the world, though, and see these things and go, oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. But one of the things that should strike all of us is there is a need for the church, for all of us, you and I as believers, to live an integrated life, to not have little compartments where things float around as disconnected from our relationship with Jesus. There is a clear problem of disconnect. So you have your Bible open there to Ephesians 5. But what we've been highlighting and pointing out for us all is this little word walk in the ESV, walk, New American Standard, uses the same word, to walk. And it doesn't start until chapter 4, verse 1. And the whole book is all about the treasures and riches and unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and how the Lord from all eternity took his own and chose them for himself, and he predestined them to be adopted in and through his Son, and sends his own Son to redeem them on the cross, and puts his own Spirit into their heart and seals them. Them meaning us, all of us who name the name of Christ, to those who have believed, verse 12 and 13 of chapter 1, we believed on him. All these things come into our lives. We experience the Lord in this way. We walk and we experience these riches in Christ. But Paul is so concerned that we don't live, the scriptures are so concerned we don't live this life that disconnects things. It's not integrated. So he keeps saying that, but now you need to walk worthy of the calling that you've received. Walk worthy, live integrated with who you are and what you believe and how you behave. This all needs to come together. I mean, it's a little alarming, wasn't it, as Scott read those verses, using some very strong words here about impurity. Over and over he repeats himself. Because the problem is so easily to live disconnected and to let those things be over here, and that we don't let the Lord address those areas in our life. We need to walk worthy. So let me just share with you, first of all, three guiding principles that Paul points out here. Three guiding principles. First one is no hint, verse 3, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, no hint of that in your life. This shouldn't even be named among you. No filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking. That's out of place. He says it again. Verse 5, immorality, impurity, covetousness, which is idolatry. No hint of that. No hint. And yet, it's for some of us, it's not just there's a hint going on, but a megaphone. The original plan the Lord had is one man, one woman, married till death do them part. The Lord brings what God has joined together, let no one separate. One man, one woman. And we've taken that original plan from Genesis 2, we as human beings on this planet, and we have twisted it in about as every way possible that we can. I was at an ordination council just this week and learned that there are at least 26 different sexual identities now. Actually, I heard the number quite a bit higher. I heard someone report 58 different sexual identities. Also at the council, the subject came up of homosexuality, sexual orientation. See, our orientation is only one part of our life. And as believers, what we are is that we are the children of God. What we are is followers of Christ. What we are is people for whom Jesus shed his blood. Who we are his adopted children. Who we are is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? But society ignores all of that. And maybe we could be tempted to ignore all of that and see ourselves, give ourselves some identity, some orientation based on only one part of our life. And it's sad, very sad, when we define ourselves by only that one part of us. And this kind of sin that the scriptures are talking about here, it is the easiest thing in the world to fall into. And it becomes sometimes for some of us the biggest challenges that we face to walk in this purity. So if you made a list today, like the teenagers of our country made a list, would on your list be right near the top, maybe at the very top, no hint of impurity? See, it's a serious thing here, which leads us to the second little thing I want to share. The second principle here is that not only is there be no hint, because there's going to be no inheritance. No inheritance. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a story in Genesis 20 when Abraham came. This is the second time he told big fibs about his wife. And he came into this Gentile country and he told the story that she's actually, you know, like my cousin. She's like my sister. She's my relative, he would say, actually. And then the king confronted him on that. Why did you lie? Why don't you tell me that she's your wife, Abraham? He said, honestly, this is, I think, very telling. He said, I just sense there's no fear of God in this place. No fear of God in this place. And I don't think that in any way, shape, or form, we as believers should try to be as I've heard some of us describe it, you know, holier than thou, and we're looking our nose down at other people. But it is alarming that in some situations you find yourself in, there's such openness to everything and anything other than the Lord Jesus, that just you sense there's no fear of God in this place. There's no fear of God. And I'll tell you what, friends, it is a big mistake, to confuse the long suffering of the Lord with the idea that, well, he doesn't see, he doesn't care. He's like poor old blind Isaac. Is that you there, Esau? Like the Lord can't really see what's going on. His hearing isn't what it used to be. No, if you look closely at your Bible here, if you see verse 5, you can be sure of this, says Paul, that everyone who is immoral and impure, covetous and idolater, there will be no inheritance. If this is your way of life, if you've never encountered the Lord in conversion, if you never can say, yeah, I came to Christ, there will be no inheritance for you. No inheritance. And further, look at this, verse 6, something we don't hear a lot about. It's because of these things. Don't be deceived, says Paul. Don't let somebody give you a bunch of empty words, wah, 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 wah. It's because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Don't live a life where there's disconnect. Integrate. Your body, your soul, all of it together, integrated into Christ Jesus. put the whole book of Ephesians together. Don't just let your orientation of who you see yourself slip over here some other way. Wow, Tom, this is harsh. That's a little harsh. Why so harsh? Because did you see that in verse 5, verse 6? It has to do with idolatry. God loves you. He loves every person he's ever made. And he sees that when we give ourselves these things, it becomes an idol in our life and we lose him in all of that. We actually become the biggest losers when we turn our backs on the Lord. No hint, no inheritance, no partnership. No partnership. Don't be partners with them, he says. You see that? No coarse joking. You know, all that stuff. You know, there's a really big difference, isn't there? Of course there is. Between Sven and Ole jokes or Ole and Lena jokes and filthy jokes. Filthy jokes. And when you hear those kind of things, and you're, I'm sure, hear it a lot more often than I do, out in the work world, you have to decide who you're going to saddle up next to. How are you going to do this? How we can do this together? No partnership with that. I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to walk in purity. Well, quickly, let me give you then three gospel truths and put this together here. Find the remedy of the Lord. And the first thing here is that we need to remember who we are, who we were. You see that? Verse 8, if there's a key verse here, I think it's verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Many times I think of Pastor Dave Martin and how growing up in Bethany Free Church and his ministry and his godly life made such a big impact on me and on those 110 kids in the youth group. But he said one time, I remember he was talking about meeting somebody who was, I think they were certainly struggling with alcohol, and they were their life was just really dissolving right in front of him. And it was a pathetic thing. And you would think that he would say something like, and that was terrible. And he said to all of us, he said, yeah, you know what? I'll tell you something. But by the grace of God, that's where I am too. I never thought of it that way. Because you see stuff like that, you go, oh, that is horrible. And it is, of course, to see someone ruin their life like that. But it's only, friends, by God's grace that that's not your story. That is who you were. That was a great illustration for me. Great illustration for me. We must not forget where we have come from. Talking with another friend this week and talking about how the Christian life is a journey, and that they said to me, you know, sometimes as they look toward those who've gone down the road a little further, sometimes he felt, I don't know, a little bit of looking down on him, like, why are you way back there? I said, well, you know what? Maybe scripturally they aren't way over here. Maybe they're actually here or actually behind you, that kind of attitude. Looking down on someone else, if we forget what we have come from, is not progress. It's actually retreat. It's going the wrong way. But now you are light in the Lord. That's the second thing. We are light in the Lord. You know, people hear me talk like this or hear other pastors and unfold the scriptures like this, and they think, you, Mason, you are so backward. You are so conservative. No fun. And the scriptures are saying, it's the reverse is true. The Lord has turned the lights on. The Lord has turned the lights on. And we cannot take this Ephesians and say, and just look at just these verses here on purity. Well, that's it, you know. But you need to see that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, chapter 2, verse 1. And by grace we have been saved. We've been raised and made alive with Jesus Christ through his work on the cross and the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Therefore, we can say we walk as children of light. We are light in the Lord. Light in the Lord. And so he says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. So we've come full circle here. This is what you were. And now here you are in Christ. You are light in the Lord. The light has awakened you. You know him. You're alive, right? Now walk that way. Integrate things here. Don't have disconnect. See, this is what are we talking about here? This is the old challenge of being in the world, but not of the world. Because many Christians, many of us, can be in the world, and we are very much of the world. Cannot tell us apart. But the other extreme is to not be of the world, but we're not in the world either. Right? So in other words, you can have love, but no holiness. No holiness. Or a lot of holiness. No love. No love. Walk as children of light. How do we put that together? I know the hour is fleeting here, but let me just share two things as we close here. I've always been challenged by the story of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in Luke 5, Jesus calls a man who is a tax collector. And in Jesus' day, being a tax collector is the same thing as being a sinner, is being someone from the wrong side of the tracks. He calls Matthew, follow me. Matthew leaves his tax booth and follows Jesus and throws him a party. Jesus comes to the party. The party is not just for Matthew, for Jesus and his disciples. It is for all. It's all the tax collectors and sinners that Matthew knew are also at the party. So there's Jesus amongst all these people that would be considered, they're not good people at all. And so that somehow the Pharisees and Sadducees, I don't know if they're looking through the window or maybe inviting themselves in, but they're starting to look down their nose at Jesus and starts being very judgmental toward him. Right? And Jesus is in between here. And he says something that is just absolutely revolutionary. He says to those boys, boys, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, is it? No, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners to repentance. And so it dawned on me this. I want to share this with you. He is going in two directions. Two directions. He goes into the world with love, and he calls those sinners to himself out of the world. Two directions. Two directions. He calls them out of that world. He calls them sick, and he heals them. He calls them to repentance. Isn't that beautiful? Walking as children of light. You know, we live amongst them. We shine. Wake up, sleeper. We live amongst others so they can see and know. But here's the second thing. I want to close with this. This just dawned on me, and I don't know why I didn't see it. But you know, everything from verses 3 to 14, the world would say, oh, that's love. That's love. Right? And it shocked me. I didn't notice it before, but that word is not there. That's why I had Scott read the first two verses. It's three times in verses 1 and 2, and it's nowhere to be seen in verses 3 to 14. This whole life of indulging and orientation and all this new stuff, the Bible says that is a complete absence of any love at all. It's not love. In fact, it will bring the wrath of God upon that person. Where is the love? The word is agape, right? You're familiar with that. Agape. And in verse 1, the word is agapetos, the beloved. Therefore, as imitators of God, as the beloved, Christians are agapetos. We are the beloved. We've experienced God's love. Then he says, walk in love, a noun, agape. Walk in that love. And then he repeats the word again, as Christ has agapeo. The verb of love is a noun. Love is a verb. He loved us, and he sacrificed himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It smelled so good to the Father, what Jesus did. That is love. Walk in that kind of love in your marriage. If you're a single person, that's the kind of love you live toward the opposite sex. Sacrificing, loving, serving. It has hardly anything to do with my feelings. Hardly anything at all. Hardly anything at all. The cure for impurity is to be absolutely drenched with the agape love of God toward us and sharing that love with others around us. It's not about being loved. The Bible says hardly anything about how to be loved. It says so much about how to love over and over again. And we have a beautiful picture here of the body of Christ, which is symbolized by the bread, and the blood of Christ, which is symbolized by the cup, shed for us on the cross to bring us to God and to bring us in union with one another. His love is shed abroad. Let's pray as we move in and celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Father, thank you for spelling out your word to us. Thank you that if we really want to know what love is, and boy, we do. And we are really, really hungry for love. Every one of us. It comes from you. It comes from your heart. It's who you are. It's what your Son did on the cross. It's what the Spirit did in our lives. Your love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We live that out toward others in an integrated way. Not a few boxes here and there, not a little secret life going on. It's all washed clean by the blood of Jesus, indwelt and empowered by your Holy Spirit, living that love toward others. Would you do that in our lives? Help us now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. In your name we pray. Amen.